because we just plus people are lively. Yeah. They do good work.
Yep.
Good afternoon. We'll call to order the House Committee on Veteran Services and Emergency Preparedness. Today is February 13th, which is one day before Valentine's Day. Remember that, and don't say I didn't remind you. I'm proud of myself. Members, I bought a card in advance this year. Felt pretty good.
No roses?
Not only no roses, but nobody in line, which was incredible, but we'll see you tomorrow in the gift shop.
It could be an EMS crisis at my house.
And with that, welcome, everybody. We have some guests, some students from Portland that have a little homework assignment, so we'll look forward to reading your... Is it 13 pages you're going to write? Perfect. Single space. Thank you very much. And so with that, now, I want to warn everybody, we're going to move along a little bit at somewhat of a snail's pace on a couple different areas because, as you know, today is our last day for the possible work session to get things moving out of the committee. Some things are going to move with amendments, some things are going to move, and some things that we wish as a concept might, won't. I want to recognize, too, before, and I would have rather done this on the floor. I intended to, and I didn't. But Representative Fagan, our vice chair, is not with us today. She was selected as one of 40 under 40 by the Portland Business Journal, which is pretty exciting. So she's one of their 40 under 40 young leaders for her tremendous leadership in the business community. So congratulations to Representative Fagan. If you see her throughout the halls and throughout the travels, say good job. So she's receiving that award today, which is wonderful. And with that, I see the good senator has joined us, and we're going to get right to it, sir, if you'd like to come join us at the dais, and we will we'll bring you forward, and we will open up a public hearing on SCR 204. Ms. Ross.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, SCR 204 honors Major General Raymond F. Reed for his distinguished career and service to his state and his country. This committee will remember Mr. Reese as the former TAG at the Oregon Military Department.
Thank you. And more than once. And what an amazing man. I'm so honored that you are doing this, and I just really appreciate you being here today. Senator.
Well, thank you, Chair Matthews. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bill Hansel, state senator from District 29, which is also the home of General Fred Reese. Major General, I've got a few notes here. I want to make sure to give a little background. Major General Raymond F. Reese is a native son of Oregon. He was born in Pendleton and raised in Helix on a ranch and graduated from Helix High School in 1962. He attended the United States Military Academy, graduated in 1966, and was commissioned as a second lieutenant of armor. He was stationed in West Germany, and in December 1968 was assigned to active duty in Vietnam. After leaving active army in the 1970s, Major General Reese joined the Oregon Army National Guard. He advanced through several command and staff positions of increasing rank and responsibility, serving as the Bureau of Army National Guard, Acting Chief of the National Guard Bureau, and Adjutant General of Oregon. He also found time to attend and graduate from the University of Oregon School of Law, graduating with his Juris Doctorate degree. Throughout his career, Major Reese was highly decorated with awards including the Defense Distinguished Service Medal, Army Distinguished Service Medal, Air Force Distinguished Service Medal, Defense Superior Service Medal, Legion of Merit with Oak Leaf Cluster, and Bronze Star Medal. Major General Reese retired in July of 2013 after 47 years of military service. Colleagues, I would ask for your support for the Senate Concurrent Resolution 204 to honor the command and Major General Raymond F. or Fred Reese for his distinguished career, his outstanding leadership, and his dedication to serving his state and country. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. I might mention that I grew up in Athena, he grew up in Helix, we're 9 miles apart, we're both farm boys, we played basketball against each other, competed in speech contests, so Fred's a longtime personal friend, and I'm honored to be able to carry this.
Thank you, Senator. My question is, you're doing this for him, but what does he do for you, really?
Well, I'm hoping now that he's re-registered and lives in Montreal.
Well played.
Get a vote or two.
Yeah, well played. No, he's an outstanding individual and just an honorable man. Colleagues, do you? Yes, Representative Huffman.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It just occurred to me that General Reese went on to do great things.
But I just...
Just kidding, Senator Hansel. Thanks for bringing this, and I just want to do a supportive thing. between General Reese and General Caldwell, you know, helped me with so many projects over the years, and so this is a good bill.
Great. Any further comments?
I'm just thrilled we're doing this. You know, obviously, I'm sure you know my husband served with General Reese, and he's been a wonderful mentor and truly cares for our military families in this state. And, you know, with every hit that our Guard has taken, he feels it and has just been a wonderful, wonderful example of leadership in a state where sometimes we need that. So,
I might mention that it would have been done closer to his retirement, but because of some change in personnel, it kind of got lost in the shuffle, and by the time we realized it, it was too late. So I told him we'd work on the interim, bring it beforehand. I happened to ask him, because I wanted him to be on the floor when the Senate did it, I said, are there any days in February that would not be good for you? And he said, well, actually, I've just taken a civilian job in the Pentagon, and I fly out on the 6th. So, Peter, President Courtney's office, really, we had to suspend rules. We had all the readings at the same time. I actually took this before the Education Committee because that was the first committee that was meeting on the Senate side. So they really accommodated it, and it was an honor for Fred to sit with me on the floor of the Senate when we passed it unanimously. And he flew out the next morning to continue to serve our country in the Pentagon as a civilian.
That's a great story, and I'm so glad he's there. We've made mention of that in our chamber, and I'm sure you have in yours. It's nice when we're doing things like this for folks when they're still alive to know how much we appreciate their service and their sacrifice, and please extend that to his family as well. But he certainly is, you know, Rangers lead the way, as they say, and I've always seen him as just a soldier, and he's just a true leader, and you can just see the respect that he commands, and it's exciting to see him. And I know that our soldiers are in good hands, too, with General Hokanson, but I just know that General Reese is... Yeah, and the things he did outside of just the deployments, mobilization and demobilization, his support at Camp Rosenbaum, a youth citizenship camp that you're aware of, Representative Boone, he's just a great man. So very much do, and thank you so much for your comments today. Any further questions or comments? With that, Senator, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have nobody else to testify, is that correct? Great. We will close the public hearing on SCR 204. And we'll open a work session on SCR 204.
Chair Matthews, I move SCR 204 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Parrish moves SCR 204 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, if you could please call the roll.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Fagan.
Excused.
Vice Chair Parrish.
Aye.
Chair Matthews.
Aye. Thank you. And the motion passes. Senator, we can't have you carry this, but I know that Representative Jensen's on the bill. Is there somebody that you would...
I would recommend Representative Jensen. I know he'd be honored to do it.
Thank you, sir. And that's what we shall do. Thank you. We will assign this to Representative Jensen. I know that he would be honored, and as well with General Reese. And we will close the work session on SCR 204. And now we will move to, you want to go to, let's go to, we're going to open up a work session on House Bill 4022.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4022 was previously heard on the 4th and the 11th. It's the Kelsey Smith Act requiring cellular services to provide location information for emergency services purposes. It has a Dash 1 amendment that was previously adopted on the 11th that fixed some of the language. The word reseller, they had some difficulty with that, and also clarified that the Office of Emergency Management was to coordinate their data collection with the PSAPs and law enforcement to report to the legislature on a biennial basis. There is a minimal fiscal on the Dash 1 and no revenue impact.
Wonderful. Thank you. And so we are in work session on House Bill 4022. And we did move the Dash 1s into the bill, so this is now as amended. And I would entertain a motion if we have one.
Right. Chair Matthews, I move House Bill 4022 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Vice Chair Parrish moves House Bill 4022 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? We did adopt the amendments. For clarification, we did adopt the amendments last hearing.
Okay, because it doesn't say 4022 minus with the 1 behind it, so that's why.
I apologize, Representative. They were adopted on the 11th of February and moved into the bill. And again, Representative Parrish moves House Bill 4022 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, if you could call the roll, please.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative
Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Putnam.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Fagan.
Excuse.
Chair Parrish.
Aye.
Chair Matthews.
Aye. Motion passes. And we'll assign a carrier, and that will be me. Thank you.
The business people have to ask the house. They've got a 40 record.
Yeah.
What's with that?
Okay, let's do 4087. So with that, let's we'll open a work session. We're going to skip one. We're going to go to House Bill 4087.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4087 establishes a task force on school safety, and it was previously heard on the 4th. The bill sets out all of the persons who will be appointed to the task force. It appropriates general funds to the State Patrol and tasks them with staffing the task force. It has a sunset at the opening of the 2017 legislation. It declares emergency is effective on passage. We received a Dash 1 amendment today. It was uploaded to OLIS immediately, and there are copies at the dais, but I'm afraid I haven't had time to summarize it.
I appreciate that. And I believe, Tricia Smith, if you'd like to come forward to the dais, please, and talk about the amendments. And, you know, I know that Zach Reeves in my office and you have been talking about this, and we had just a little bit of mix-up on the amendment, but this is something we've been talking about for a little while. So please give us the history of it, and if you'll introduce yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tricia Smith. I represent Oregon School Employees Association, and I'm happy to be here with you today again to talk about House Bill 4087. You may recall when you heard the bill before, I testified in support of the bill, strong support, but asked that an amendment be adopted into the bill to include on the task force. This bill sets up a task force to look at school safety from the standpoint of intruders and develops and looks at developing a database of floor plans of schools that would be accessible to law enforcement and looks at training that may need to happen in schools. So that's the point of the bill. And we ask that an Oregon School Employees Association member be on the task force. Our members are the security personnel in schools. They're the people that someone walking into the school meets first. And we felt that their input would be important in this discussion. The Dash 1 amendment, unfortunately, Zach and I each thought the other was doing something that didn't happen. And that's why we didn't get it in a timely way to the committees for that. The amendment is very simple. It adds a member of OSEA to the task force and increases the number from 13 to 14 to accommodate that. And it makes one other change. In the bill, it directs that training programs be developed. And in the language, it referred to school administration officials. And we changed that to school employees to be sure that the task force understood that without training all employees in a school building, we had problems. So that was the only change other than adding OSEA. And it's all in the Dash 1 amendment. And I encourage and urge you to suspend the rules and adopt the amendment and move this bill on so that we can start making it happen.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? And this amendment all along was, back to the hearing date, as you know, as I see some folks representing the law enforcement, our chief officers and police officers, and we just wanted to make sure that we were clear, too. What we don't want to do is broaden the scope of this committee so much that we have so many seats at the table that nothing gets done.
That's right.
And the span of control is lost. So I didn't see or hear any objection on that particular date. I haven't heard any objection as a result of that hearing, and you made it pretty clear, as did we want to get them in the hearing. So as he nods his head in the negative, I appreciate that, and thank you very much, Mr. Campbell, and thank you, Ms. Smith, for
thank
your
you,
work.
Mr. Chair. You bet.
And with that, we are in work session on House Bill 4087, and we were just discussing the Dash 1. And, Ms. Ross, this would require, is it a rule suspension that this requires?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that's correct. There would have to be a motion to suspend the rules, and it requires a two-thirds vote of the committee, and then you'd be able to work on the bill. And I have a blank script of that motion, if that's what the committee is inclined to do, if they want to move the amendments into the bill. The underlying bill is ready without suspending the rules.
Sure.
To adopt the Dash 1, we'd need to suspend the rules.
Okay. And I believe I'll roll the dice and take a chance. I see a lot of hands reaching for that document right now. Representative Witt is signaling.
Mr. Chairman, I move suspension of the rules to enable consideration of the Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 4087.
And the Dash 1 is dated February 6, 2014.
Thank you. Representative Witt moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 4087 without having the fiscal and or revenue impact statement on hand at this time, and the amendment is dated February 6, 2014.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Mr. Chairman.
Well, you actually said it perfectly yourself, sir. And thank you. The motion is not debatable. Those are the opinion that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 4087 without having the fiscal and or revenue impact statement on hand at this time. Shall say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carries. The rules have been suspended. And we are now ready to move forward.
But there is some language
okay.
at the outset that we'll fix as we go.
Okay, so where are you right here? We want to start here. Chair Matthews, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 2-6-14 into 4087. Sorry.
Thank you, Representative Parrish. Moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated February 6, 2014 into House Bill 4087. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing no discussion and no objection, the motion passes. Correct? And the amendments are adopted.
Chair Matthews, I move House Bill 4087 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the committee in Ways and Means by prior reference.
Forgive me, that's a typo on the... No, that's a subsequent referral.
Wonderful, thank you. And Representative Parrish moves House Bill 4087 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that it be referred to the committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there discussion? Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Fagan.
Aye. Excused.
Vice Chair Parrish.
Aye.
Chair Matthews.
Aye. And the motion passes. And it's going to Ways and Means, so we don't need to sign a carrier. We would actually not be able to do anything without the great work of Matthew and Cheyenne. Thank you so much for keeping us on track. Now, do we need to take a quick recess, or can we push forward and have a discussion? We will close the work session, by the way, on House Bill 4087.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm waiting to hear from the House desk, Ramona Kennedy line, on a question about whether we need to suspend the rules on the remaining bill. So you could have the discussion, sir, and then give me a chance to go to her office or wait for a response about whether we need to suspend the rules or not. But in the meantime, you could have the discussion.
Certainly. So why don't we just...
summarize the bill. Or
yeah, and why don't we open the work session now on House Bill 4023.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4023 establishes a lottery raffle game to benefit education and economic development for veterans. It requires the Oregon State Lottery Commission to create a game and the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development to create a corresponding program, provides a dedicating accounting structure, and declares an emergency effective on passage. That is the underlying bill, which we heard on the 4th of February. Some amendments have been received in the intervening time. Dash 1 amendment permits the dedication of the Warm Springs Veterans Memorial Highway and a portion of U.S. Highway 26 within the Warm Springs Reservation. The Dash 2 amendment allows 100% disabled veterans to pay the discounted fee for annual medical marijuana cards that is currently available to assistance recipients. And the Dash 3 amendment replaces the measure and is a combination of those two. So the Dash 1 and the Dash 2 are in addition to 4023, the underlying raffle bill. The Dash 3 amendment is a replacement of the underlying raffle bill. And with adoption of the Dash 3 amendment, we have permission from the Speaker's office to rescind the subsequent referral. The question I pose to the desk is, we have a revenue light on the Dash 3, and I'm not certain, I haven't in my experience, the legislature moved a bill to the floor, once the subsequent referral was removed, with a revenue light that indicates that a further analysis is, and I'm asking her if that's possible, if we can do that, or if we need to suspend the rules and proceed as if we don't have a revenue statement.
Great. So thank you so much for that. So I will kind of walk you through a little bit of what is occurring and kind of the thought process as we move forward on House Bill 4023. We have, as a committee, had multiple discussions in this chamber and the other on lottery. And in terms of how can we perhaps, I'll say, tap into the system to where we can support our veterans. And we had come up with what I thought was a brilliant idea under the leadership of then Representative Witt and Representative Esquivel of a raffle game that would be dedicated specifically to assist our veterans. And even more specific, veteran service officers, which would put them in touch with their benefits. The issue comes down to, although the bill requires that we would institute a game, and it would be an additional game, which would be a raffle ticket, which it is this chair's belief that that doesn't add to the gambling problems, that we would actually access perhaps a different arena and a different group of folks that would buy the ticket specifically to support the veterans and maybe not necessarily be a gambling person or a raffle participant under any ordinary circumstance. This would have generated $1.1 million, is what we've heard. But the problem is that there is belief, and there's no numbers to support our end, that that feels that this could potentially be a revenue increase and not a fiscal impact. However, the lottery is apparently, the lottery numbers in the budget are apparently down, which if you're somebody worried about gambling and perhaps, you know, gambling addiction, that might be a great thing. The sad reality is the state's addicted to gambling itself and these dollars that we dedicate. And to make a change of this now would be shifting dollars away from already predetermined cause. Now, I'll be clear, I don't think veterans have any intent to shift dollars away from kids' programs or senior programs or anything else. In fact, I know that they are out there on the front line defending that very freedom of which we distribute the dollar. But we can't get that argument made and to have it resonate effectively in this short session. We have asked some folks to weigh in that would perhaps have that type of influence, and we haven't gotten that result. It's frustrating as the chair, and I can assume you share it as well as members, because nobody hears more than we do, other than the veteran service officers and ODVA themselves, about the need that is out there to get veterans in touch with the benefits they've earned. We are well aware of that. In the meantime, as this bill was having problems getting to the point we needed to get it to go further, we learned of a couple other opportunities that Representative Huffman came forward with that would fit the relating clause for veterans. And in conversation with ODOT and whatnot, it seemed like a great fit. And so we were of the mindset that we could move those amendments into this bill, and it would have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and we would only do that if we could get all three components through the bill. The problem with doing that now would make us all feel good that we're making a difference in the veteran raffle ticket, and it would die in Ways and Means, and the two bills that are important to Representative Huffman and to veterans in Oregon would not be passed. They would die with it. That's just not fair. So once again, we're forced to deliberate on whether or not there's justification in moving a bill to feel good or doing something effective. I've said before, don't do things to be popular, do it to be effective. The most effective thing we can do as a committee is recognize that we're not able to move the lottery raffle bill as we so badly desire. I'll say it again, we so badly desire to move that bill, and it doesn't happen. I don't know how many more times I can hear of the need for the service without us coming forward with something. I hope now with the new lottery commissioner we're able to get some traction, since we have about 9 months of knowledge that we're going to do this next session. But eventually next session becomes last session. And last session we didn't do anything either. So I'm very frustrated. I want to be clear, I'm proud of what Oregon does for our veterans. I think we do a great job for our veterans. I think, you know, our great director of ODVA does an exceptional job. His staff is wonderful. Our veterans are being taken care of, but not to the point that this committee, I believe, and this chair specifically has a desire to take care of them. So with that, the intent of the chair, once we hear from our great chief clerk, will be to move not the dash one, not the dash two, but the dash three, which encompasses that, and will also, unfortunately, as I say, strip us of our opportunity to go once again at a game that I think Oregonians would embrace, the veteran-themed raffle ticket that I think people would purchase, and I think you get a whole other universe of people that say, I'm doing it for veterans. And if they win, they win. If they don't, they gave to veterans, and they're okay with it. But again, I apologize. I have failed. So with that, that's where we're at.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, for your thoughts, and I am frustrated along with you. There are many ways to get things done in this building, and when we come up with an idea, when we first came up with these ideas, we went through it in the usual way, deliberating in this committee. We're often asked to come up with a plan for how to raise the money to do what we want to do. And so we get creative. We do all kinds of things. And we come back, and then we're told, no, it's not going to do this. We're not going to take money out of the general fund. We're not going to take money, you know, out of this fund. But the reality is if we're going to raise this money to do this, to get with our goal being to put the veteran service officers in the schools, I would challenge those who tell you we can't do this to let you know how they would like you to proceed in order to get that done. Because you've tried this, you've tried that, short of going down in the basement and, you know, printing more money, I don't know what we do. And I think that it's too long to wait. I think that we need these veteran service officers. We've had proof that this works. Why would we risk another 9 months of being out there and not catching this momentum to serve people? You know, because I know this is working. And this goes way back. This goes way back. And I'm not an expert. I'm not a veteran. I've never seen active duty. I watch movies. I don't know how accurate they are, but they're, you know, I'm into World War II stuff now. So, because I can't watch the Vietnam stuff. I lost too many people in that one. But I'm really frustrated too, and I don't know what we're supposed to do.
I appreciate your comment, Representative Boone. I'm with you. You have been at this fight longer than I, so I can only imagine how frustrated you are.
Are you saying that I'm old?
No, I'm saying you... I'm saying you have had a passion to bring forward veterans issues long before I've had an opportunity to come to this seat, and I admire and respect you for it.
But you've done a lot more than I have.
Well, that's true. I'm just kidding. Representative Parrish.
So this will be the second time in a committee today that I'm going to preface this that I'm going to be blunt. Present company sitting on this bench aside, I am so disappointed that our veterans have become a partisan issue, and they really have been. Today we just voted for $2.9 billion for a bridge on a wing and a prayer that the money's going to be there and that we're going to go build a bridge. We put an extra $1 billion into education, in K-12 education, in this last legislative session. This is $1 million. There are 350,000 veterans in our state. This is $1 million of a $60 billion or $58 billion. In fact, the general fund just crossed $17 billion for the first time. And I hate the expression that this is, change into the cushions, but it's for $1 million that will help serve up as many as 350,000 Oregonians in this state who serve this state honorably and who don't complain when we ask them to send them to fires or to floods or to war, and we're about to deploy people again. This is a disgustingly low day for the Oregon legislature. And again, present company aside, because the Democrats on this committee work their butts off for veterans. They absolutely work. I would knock doors with Greg Matthews for how hard he works for veterans. So, total company excluded. The fact that the leadership in this chamber has made veterans a partisan issue is just horribly disgusting to me. And I am going to continue to work on the ballot initiative, which also was made into a partisan issue as we chased a ballot title. So now we're doing this for 2016. It is very clear that there is a theme that's developing where we don't want to serve veterans, fund veterans in this state. Yet every other moonbat idea that goes to Ways and Means, you know, with we're going to give things for solar credits and we're going to give things for wind farms and all these other constituency groups is nonsense to me. For the 350,000 plus people or however many that number is in Oregon who've served, today this is a partisan issue, and I am very, very disappointed in this body, present company aside, who I enjoy absolutely serving with.
I understand, Representative. Thank you for your heartfelt comments. I appreciate it, and I appreciate your passion. I always do. Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I want to give the rest of the story from my vantage point.
Please.
We've run this bill up the flagpole several times. And this is yet another example of a government agency that doesn't like a bill. In this instance, they're worried that they're going to lose revenue from the rest of the lottery. And as you so eloquently pointed out, this would be an opportunity for Oregonians to provide additional revenue for veterans. And I know that that's exactly what would happen. But that agency is so worried about the money that they're getting from the lottery that they torpedoed this bill on the basis, just like bill after bill after bill in this body gets torpedoed because of revenue and fiscal statements put out by agencies that don't like bills that come across. If I knew any way to stop the executive department from interfering with this branch of government's business, I'd have had a bill in the first session I was here. I become increasingly frustrated every session. It's gone from being frustrated by one or two bills to bill after bill after bill after bill in this House. And I'm tired of it. I suspect, Mr. Chairman, that I will not be the first person called in the roll call on this amendment. And with the greatest respect to yourself and to Representative Huffman, I have no other outlet to express my frustration other than to vote no. And it is on that basis and that basis alone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I respect that, Representative Witt, and thank you. I want to point out, and you hear the frustration from the committee, is I don't stand alone on this issue, and I appreciate that about this group. There will be no greater time that this state will ever have momentum to do the right thing, to make the policy change, and to have the discussion for our veterans. The time is now. Is this war going to be over? Because we're not doing what we need to do now. And yet I can tell you that we enjoy our liberties. We enjoy our freedoms. We enjoy everything that we get as a result of their service. Look at how many bills were prioritized for veterans this session. If not for but a few people, we wouldn't have veterans bills. I appreciate that we have veterans committees specifically designed for veterans. That's a step in the right direction. But we are losing momentum daily to do the things we need to do because they are drifting further and further off in the memories of the need to take care of them. But in my world of public safety, we are seeing the need. In the world of mental health, and to be, let's be clear, I am not saying that veterans come back with mental health, but there are PTSD issues. They are very real. We are just now starting to discover that law enforcement and firefighter personnel are starting to go through some PTSD. They're involved in some nasty things. We employ them to do so. The least we can do is find ways to take care of them better. And do we? I'd argue that this is one way that we found to direct the dollars. Now, I know that Representative Parrish has an effort out there, and I get it. I understand it. And the only problem with her effort, I see, is that it's another chance to say, well, we can just move and ship the cups. If it's successful, huge pot of money, that's wonderful. But are they going to lose on the other end of it? This would have been directed directly to, and it would have given the opportunity for our consumers, our citizens, our folks to say, I want to do for veterans, and I'm going to buy the ticket. We're not able to do it. If I'd had any idea, I can assure this committee and I can assure every veteran out there, all 300,000 plus of you, I would not have brought this bill forward this session if I'd have thought it was going to fail. If I'd have felt like we were set up for failure, I would not have given you any false hope at all. Why waste your time? Why get you energized? Why have our VSOs come up here and our veterans themselves come forward to tell us about the need if we're not prepared to actually accept it? It's unfortunate. We didn't waste our time. We wasted theirs. It's frustrating to me. If we're not going to do stuff, just be honest with the chair, be honest with the committee, and just tell us that doesn't stand a chance in hell. Because if that's the case, perfect. We'll stop right now. Because you get this ball rolling out there and people cling on and they think like, finally, yes, we're going to get something. Veterans don't come in here to ask for anything. But when we tell them we're doing something for them and then we fail to deliver, once again, we fail to deliver. How fair is that? In their mind right now, they're not paying attention day to day and they're not one of the millions of viewers at home. But in their mind, we're working on this right now. We're going to do this right now. Then they'll read in failure and they'll say, yeah, go figure. I assume that's the outcome. It ain't right. We could do so much better. And we're not asking for much. And if you're not going to give us the 1.1 through an actual dedicated raffle, 1.1 million veteran service officers, ramp them up. Put the money there. I get it. Are we recovering or not? Are the revenues up or not? Is lottery down? Great. Gamblers Anonymous is happy now. But what are we going to do? Well, with all due respect, if the committee should be so inclined, we're going to have to move the bill, not anything like what we thought we'd be moving today. Representative Parrish?
Thank you. Two things I wanted to add, Chair Matthews. I don't think moving... I've been torn on lottery, right? Okay, we've heard my story. My sister died of addictions, and she was a gambling addict. She was addicted to Oregon Lottery. So it is hard for me to personally come to say, let's go to the Oregon Lottery and use this as a way to fund veterans. But you know what? It's the only way I know that we can, particularly for the ballot initiative, the only way I know that we can constitutionally protect dollars permanently, forever, for veterans programs and service in this state. It is the only way I know how to do that. So it's not my preferred preference that we cap those funds. However, I also don't believe that it subtracts from anything because veterans, investing in veterans is economic development in this state. When we have a gap of over 200,000 veterans who have not tapped into the benefits that they could be owed by the Department of Veterans Affairs, that is our opportunity to bring down federal dollars from Uncle Sam that Oregonians send at a rate of $1 to Washington, D.C., and do not bring a dollar home every year for decades in this state. When I hear that Oregon taxpayers aren't getting it done and we need more revenue from them, no, our federal delegation's not getting it done in terms of bringing those dollars home for Oregon. Oregon is sending the money to Uncle Sam, and we're not getting it back. So without a new federal program, the fastest way we can do economic development in a state is investing in caring for veterans. Washington State has seen this. They've put $30-some million into veterans and brought back over $3 billion. Washington State has seen this. That happened in California. Sorry. Washington State has seen this. By moving veterans from state programs to veterans programs, they have saved dollars in their general fund. It is economic development to do this. So I do not believe that if we move $1 million, or in the case of the ballot initiative, 5% dedicated, we give fish in this state 7.5% of the lottery. Fish. That is just shameful in my mind. So I think it's economic development. I think it's fast economic development, and we care for the people who've served us. So I'm also not going to support the amendments, and no offense to my good colleague, Rep. Heffman, who is a veteran and who has served and, you know, and understands these issues. The piece about the one about drugs, I'm sorry, it's a hard limit for me. I don't support those programs. I can't be a yes. So...
Thank you. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You know, the tragic thing here is not the fact that we've got people playing games with the money, because out of a $60 billion budget, you'd think this wouldn't matter, and it wouldn't. But it matters a hell of a lot to our veterans. Every person that comes out of that theater has PTSD. I don't care who you are. Every one of them, their life will change. I'm going to give you some hard numbers that I learned from our former director, Willis. Vietnam, we lost 50-some thousand men and women. Today, there's been over 130-some thousand that have committed suicide. I repeat that. 50-some thousand died in the field of battle, and 130-some thousand have died of their own hand. What have we done to those people? And now we're doing the same thing to these people that are coming back from Iraq. Well, not Iraq anymore, but Afghanistan. But these people come home with some horrendous baggage. They see things that their eyes should never see, and they're young. Sometimes they have to go 4, 5, and 6 times. We put them in that position, and then when they come home, we don't take care of them? What the hell kind of a society are we building? I'm just appalled at the leadership in this building, and I think that they should be taken to task, and I think everyone should get on the bandwagon here and push for this, because evidently that's the only thing they understand is politics. And I'm tired of using our veterans as a pawn in politics. These men and women have given it all. They've wrote out the blank check, and 4 or 5 of us here, 6 of us here, know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't treat people like that. I guess it's so the privilege so they can pull the rug out from our veterans. I haven't figured it out yet, folks. But I'm going to tell you right now, this stinks. And as long as I'm on this committee, which maybe I won't be after this, I don't know. As long as I'm on this committee, we're going to continue to strive to support our veterans in the utmost we possibly can.
Thank you, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with everything I've heard. And I just want people to know that you and I have worked on this for 2 or 3 weeks. This bill was identified by ODOT as a vehicle. At that time, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think we all assumed this bill had the support it was going to pass, and that my amendments wouldn't affect it one way or the other. I wholeheartedly support 4023, the underlying bill, and Chair Matthews knows that. So it's an awkward situation for me. I get it. We are here to support veterans, and if for whatever or whomever is not going to let us pass the underlying bill, I don't even pretend to understand all of the politics or where it's coming from. Representative Witt, you know, sounds like he knows more than I do because he used to chair the committee. But I do bring 2 veterans issues before the committee that we can still do something for veterans. I'm not one that comes into this building and chief sponsors marijuana bills. I think everybody knows that. But a VSO from Central Oregon reached out to me and said that he has a handful of 100% disabled veterans that cannot afford the $200 a year for the medical marijuana card. We have in this body given a discounted rate to certain classes of folks. It's very limited, but there are examples of some folks that are on some Oregon social programs that get the card for, I think it's $10 a year, I believe. Could be wrong. It was something we passed in either 11 or 13. So that's that underlying bill. There probably aren't that many veterans in Oregon that would take advantage of it, but I'm told there would be some. including the gentleman that asked me to bring the bill forward. And the other bill is just kind of a follow-up for, ironically, sadly, however you want to look at it, the tribes are out in the hallway here, and this happens to be the day that the tribal bill is up before this committee. And, you know, we've last session, your senator and I brought the Vietnam Veteran Memorial Highway for I-84. The session before that, Representative Wisnant and some of us brought forth the Highway 97 bill for World War II veterans. And so, in light of that, the Warm Springs veterans, which date back a long, long time, wanted to just dedicate the 35 miles of Highway 26 through the reservation. They're going to foot the bill for the signage, and I put them in touch with ODOT last year, and they worked out all the details. And so anyway, those are the two amendments. Do I sit here and... I in no way am trying to put these amendments above the core bill at all. That was never the intention. But I would like support on these if that's all we can do.
Thank you for that. No doubt, I did speak with ODOT earlier, and this will be much like what we've done in the past, where you find folks that would purchase the signs, and then ODOT would install the signs, so there's no fiscal impact to the state on that. You know what I'd like to do, committee members, I want to take just a real brief recess, just a few minutes, if you could. Try to collect our thoughts. I understand that we do have what's necessary to move forward. And so with that, we're going to recess for just a few minutes.
And we're back from recess. I feel like my wife when she says, I'll be there in just a couple minutes. It took a little longer than that. I apologize. I've had quite a steep learning curve in the last few minutes, so appreciate your patience out there. And we are currently in work session on House Bill 4023, and I want to, again, just kind of and just kind of bring this all back around. Obviously, I have shared my frustration. I have vetted to you, and I want to be clear. I have not been told not to do something with this bill. That has not been the direction that I received. I was not told specifically, do not do XYZ with this bill. I need to make that clear, because the indication might have been that somehow I was controlled or directed, and that's not the case. I have had to make some unpopular decisions in the past, decisions that were difficult for me to reach, and they were decisions that I felt like were doing the right thing, give us the best chance. Sometimes you have to choose something over nothing, and that was basically where the chair approached this. I think there is some validity to some of the arguments, but I think that we make the strongest case, and I know where the committee wants to go. But I just need to make sure that we all understand that my decision was, unfortunately, to land on what I felt was a step for veterans as opposed to perhaps doing nothing. And I just felt like the greatest risk here was to get nothing out of this process. And Representative Huffman with ODOT has worked in the Warm Springs tribes. I respect what they're hoping to do, and it's my desire also. I hear loud and clear the comments. I am not someone that is out there with Representative Huffman on medical marijuana card use and various things, but I also understand the PTSD and I understand the cure and I understand the need. So with that, appreciate your patience with the committee. We're in work session on House Bill 4023, and I would entertain a motion. Representative Huffman.
Chair Matthews, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated February 11th, 2014.
Thank you. Representative Huffman moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated February 11th, 2014. Is there any discussion? Representative Parrish.
Thank you. So since we're formally having that conversation, again, I'll just stress, appreciate what Representative Huffman's trying to accomplish here. I just have a personal objection to one of the amendments that got put into this bill, the piece about drugs, and I certainly want people to be able to have access to medicine. I don't personally consider marijuana medicine. So I'm going to be a no on that principle. I want the other piece to certainly happen. So, and it looks like you'll get the amendment, and I feel like I can pull my own values on that. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And I understand, and you're being able to share your story and your sister's situation. I'll never forget when you poured it out on the House floor, and my heart's with you.
Thank you.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just now that we are on the amendment, I too will be a no on this on the Dash 3 amendment.
Understood, sir. Appreciate that. Is there any further discussion? And we'll ask Matthew. Could you please take a roll call, please?
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Esposito.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
No.
Vice Chair Fagan.
Excused.
Vice Chair Parrish.
No.
Chair Matthews.
Aye. And the amendments have been adopted.
Chair Matthews, I move House Bill 4023 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Thank you. Representative Huffman moves House Bill 4023 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? We are all talked out. Seeing none, Matthew, could you please call the roll?
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Esposito.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Fagan.
Excused.
Vice Chair Parrish.
No.
Chair Matthews.
Aye. Motion passes, and the bill will be sent to the floor. We'll need a carrier for that bill, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 4023. I believe the orders of the day have been completed. Is that correct, Ms. Ross? Thank you. And are there any comments for the good of the order? I will
Pardon? Thanks to everybody.
Yeah, and thanks for the patience out there. And again, I really think the passion in this committee, I'll speak for myself and perhaps the committee can join, but the reason there's so much passion is here because there are so few people that are out here that are saying, veterans, 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 take care of these veterans. And yet, when you have a parade, when there's a homecoming, when there's cake and punch being served, you know, some sort of photo opportunity, we'll all line up all day long. But when it comes right down to the programs and policy that certainly makes sense for our veterans, we have basically the same cast of characters coming forward. We don't fill this room, rarely, and yet there are so many other folks out there. You know, if veterans were animals, we would have everybody in the world out here. But they're not. They're human beings. They're men and women. They're your brothers and sisters. They're your sons and daughters. They're your moms and dads. They are everything. And that's why the passion. So if anybody out there thinks for some reason, maybe I took it a little too far today, I won't apologize. That's raw passion coming out of this committee, and that's just the way it's going to be. And if you don't like it, there's other channels to tune into. Appreciate your time. Thanks so much. And we're going to close the committee for today. Have a great day. And remember, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Thank you. We're adjourned.